Publisher's Foreword of The Bruised Reed. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information, or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. The Bruised Reed by Richard Sibbes. Revised by Banner of Truth. Publisher's Foreword. Our books may come to be seen where ourselves shall never be heard. These may preach where the author cannot, and, which is more, when he is not. This prediction by one of the great Puritans has had many fulfillments. An ungodly Welsh clergyman, shopping at a fair in the 18th century, bought an article which happened to be wrapped in a page torn from an old Puritan folio. The reading of that one page led to his sound conversion. As Luther said, Satan hates the use of pens, and never were pens more powerfully wielded in the cause of God than by the Puritan divines of the 17th century. Nor have their books outlived their usefulness. Although the original volumes are worn with age, the truths found in them are as fresh as the new formats in which they are now appearing. There is no better introduction to the Puritans than the writings of Richard Sibbes, who is, in many ways, a typical Puritan. "Sibbes never wastes the student's time," wrote C. H. Spurgeon. "He scatters pearls and diamonds with both hands." The facts concerning Sibbes' life can be briefly stated. There is a full account in Volume 1 of the Banner of Truth Trust edition of his works. He was born at Tostock, Suffolk, in 1577, and went to school at Bury St. Edmunds. His father intended Richard to follow his own trade as a wheelwright, but, with the help of friends, he went up to St. John's College, Cambridge, in 1595. Here he was converted under the powerful preaching of Paul Bain, the successor of William Perkins, in the pulpit of Great St. Andrew's Church. After earning his B.D. in 1610, he was appointed a lecturer at Holy Trinity Church, Cambridge. Unsuccessful attempts were made to remove him from this post because of his Puritan tendencies. Through the influence of powerful friends, he was chosen to be the preacher at Gray's Inn, London, in 1617, and remained there till 1626. In that year he returned to Cambridge as master of St. Catherine's Hall, and later returned to Holy Trinity, this time as its vicar. He was granted a doctorate of divinity in 1627, and was thereafter frequently referred to as the Heavenly Dr. Sibbes, on account of both the matter and the manner of his preaching. He continued to exercise his ministry at Gray's Inn, London, as well as at Holy Trinity, Cambridge, while also remaining master of St. Catherine's, until his death on 6 July 1635, at the age of 58. Of him Isaac Walton later wrote, "Of this blessed man let this just praise be given. Heaven was in him before he was in heaven." "The Lord took him away," wrote a contemporary, "that his eyes might not see the great evils which were about to break out upon the land." These great evils came to a head in the Civil War of the 1640s. Behind that event lay a movement away from the doctrines and practices of the Reformation on the part of a powerful faction in the Church of England, headed by William Laud, Archbishop of Canterbury, and backed by royal favor. It was the Puritans who stood together to meet these inroads. To them, moderation in maintaining the truth of God's word was but sinful lukewarmness. "A curse lies upon those," said Sibbes, "that, when the truth suffers, have not a word to defend it." For his boldness, Sibbes was reprimanded in 1627, and in 1632, along with 11 other Puritan ministers, he was sentenced to banishment. The sentence was never carried out, but Sibbes lived to see many of his dear friends, such as Samuel Ward, Thomas Goodwin, John Cotton, Thomas Hooker, and others, imprisoned or forced into exile in Holland or New England. Concerning the final issue of this conflict, Sibbes was in no doubt. Gardiner, in his History of the Puritan Revolution, writes, "Sibbes is distinguished by his triumphant confidence, while even Laud and Wentworth acknowledged to themselves that the chances were against them. Eliot in his prison, and Sibbes in his pulpit, are jubilant with exultation." Sibbes himself says, "A Christian is an impregnable
Sample complete. Ready to continue?